This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle and Tamar. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And this is, without a doubt, Uncensored. And a beautiful and exciting guest this morning, Coach KB. That means you have to say hello. This is radio, so you can't just smile nicely and get people to
see me.
No, it does not work like that. Radio, ears, talk.
I'm sure they can see me. It looks like there's cameras in here.
You've got such an awesome smile, but they can't see it.
Hello.
Really cool that you came this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So, are you smart?
I try.
I think you're quite smart, but let's see how smart you actually are.
No, no, is this the part where I walk out?
No, not at all.
No.
Dirty dictionary word.
Today's dirty dictionary word is lactophilia. Lactophilia. Any clue what lactophilia is? Tomorrow?
John T, I think I am not a very clever person when it comes to understanding English, first of all.
And you said, you know, you sell yourself so short.
No, I'm a lovely, smart, amazing human being, but English, you know. Lactophilia, you know, lacto, like milk, like It's like licking, you know, like loving somebody who's breastfeeding to death.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, I read it's so
it.
Simple.
Is it that?
It's that.
So it's a fetish for breast
it's a fetish
milk.
For breast
oh,
milk.
Wow. Yeah.
Just think about lactose. So it's either you get turned on by cow's milk, which can be, we all humans do that.
I mean, you could do like Cleopatra. You can have a
milk bath.
Yeah.
Lactophilia. I thought it's like lack of fillings. Or
something. You see, you are smarter than you, and you have good intentions as well. You're not like filthy mind like us. No, but I think we spoke, one of the shows, I think a year ago, we spoke with somebody about that fetish. I think it came from, like, it ring a bell.
Okay.
So this fetish is only for men, I suppose.
No.
Can women also have this?
Of course.
Okay. So they also drink the milk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a fetish for breast milk.
And milk is good for you. No, milk is for babies, but it's a fetish. It's some kind of liking. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here you go.
I've learned something new.
You've learned something
Stick around. New. You will learn a lot of new things.
Terrible things.
Not terrible at all. And you should
Wonderful
not say that, Coach.
Things.
You should not
Wonderful
say that. Tell
things.
Us tell us what you do, and then people will know that you're not supposed to say
yes.
that.
Oh, well.
So, we are talking this morning about how black women in South Africa experience sex. And it's really interesting because for a lot of people, it's a world that people just don't know about.
Yeah.
We have incredibly high levels of abuse where 2 out of 3 women, if not more, have experienced abuse in South Africa. What is the impact that have on people's lives, on their relationships, on pleasure, on the cycles? Are we just reproducing cycles? What healing options are people exploring? And what are the pleasure possibilities more than anything else? So thank you for coming to share this with us.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. It's a great opportunity for me, I must say. Black women in particular.
I'm going to interrupt you for one sec because I think our WhatsApp line is working. So you can message us questions, comments on 079-748-2090 and we'd love to hear your experiences.
Yeah.
Now you may carry on.
Back
to
me.
Back to you.
Well, I find that a lot of black women, especially, and I'm talking from a point of the woman that I talk to a lot of women. I coach a lot of women as well.
So let's talk about that. Who are you? Gives you the right to stand here and say whatever you say? Beyond the fact that on this platform, anybody with something valid to say has a voice.
Besides the fact that I'm a model, a professional model. No, I'm joking. Well, I'm a dating and social coach. I talk about a lot of social issues. I bring them forth. I develop and have a lot of sessions for women that have to do with intimacy, have to do with living on purpose, different things. Just I create sacred spaces for women to just come out and talk about stuff, but not only for women. Lately, I'm finding that men also have a lot to say as well. So I'm trying to create that space for men as well.
And that's so important because men have very few platforms to voice things, especially emotional issues. With compassion, with openness, with honesty, and a space of being heard.
And they need that, and particularly black men, you know, the experience or the knowledge that they have is from each other, and half of the time it's not even accurate. It's stuff that people make up, you know.
Recycle.
Exactly.
Yeah. So as a generalization, men exaggerate and women downplay.
Exactly.
And the general connection that men have is based on business, on sport, on politics. It's not an emotional connection.
That's so true.
And very few men have an emotional connection with other men. So we talk about how big our cocks are. We talk about how many orgasms we made her have the night before.
Oh, how I made her cry. And that's a sign that I'm a good man.
Yeah. You made her cry.
Yeah, well, sexually, that is. If she makes a noise that sounds like she's in pain, then I've done a good job.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And that's for me cool to know, because this is really something that I didn't know.
And so many myths about sex. And as important as it is for women to have a space, and there are a lot of spaces for women, there are very few spaces for men.
And you know what scares me is that now we're leaving them behind. We're getting into a world where women are progressive. They are, you know, doing stuff for themselves. They intimately know what they want. They know their pleasure zones. They know how to talk about intimacy openly, you know, and share their fantasy. But we now have this huge bulk of men who are there not knowing what, you know, they're just following along and not knowing what do they want? What do they say? What voice do they have, you know?
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that when I've given talks at functions that have been more for black people, women want to learn. They want to know. They want to explore. They want to ask questions. And a lot of men are terrified.
Terrified. I actually had one guy say to me, you know, I have no idea how to pleasure my woman. And it's so scary because she has so much ideas about what she wants and what she wants, that I feel like I'm not living up to her expectations.
Yeah.
Oh, and this man was terrified that my girlfriend knows more than I do. And I feel like, should I judge her for it? Does that mean she's been around a lot? You know, and that's the mentality again with most black people, is that the more you know, the more you've been around sexually.
Yeah. And it's such a myth that, because it simply means someone's learned, they've researched, they've read stuff. It doesn't mean that they've had a lot of sex.
They're very creative. You know? They're very creative. They have a great mind.
But I have to tell you, that's across the board, that your partner does something new or tries something new. And for so many people, their first response, where did you learn that?
Where did you learn that from?
Yeah. Who did you learn it from? Instead of, you could have actually researched this.
Yeah. I mean, just the other day, when was it? I was talking about tantra sex the other time, and people were just like, what are you talking about? What is she on about? Having sex without having sex? What is that? You know, so the reaction is quite amazing to see, but also we're still scared to ask the questions.
Yeah, and that's what we need the platform for. So we want to talk more about women this morning, but we don't want to make that exclusive at all. So men, just know there are platforms for you. There are places that you can learn. And I think for so many men, they see it as a sign of weakness.
Absolutely, because you're supposed to know. Yeah. You're just supposed to be that man.
How are you supposed to know?
But if they don't even ask for directions, how are they going to ask for?
Yeah, you're
going to
stay lost. Never mind what your GPS tells you. Your GPS is not going to tell you where and how to find her G-spot and what to do with it when you've woken it up.
You don't even use GPS.
No, don't use. You use your erection as your guideline. And that usually is, as you mentioned before, when you know, when is sex over? And you said to me, men answer to you, when I come.
Yeah, I actually asked.
That's the campus. That's the compass. That's like, when does sex start? When I want to. When does sex end? When I want to.
When I come. Yeah. Yeah, and that's been the perception with a lot of men when you ask them. So it actually happened to me as well, where one of my ex-boyfriends, bye. One of my ex-boyfriends
bi, he was bi?
No, bi to him. One of my ex-boyfriends, we had actually that deep conversation where I was like, you know, when does sex end? Like, when is it over? You know, because we were just having sex and he's not coming and I'm tired. I'm like, dude, get off. What's happening? You know, like,
get up.
And he's like, but I haven't come yet. So I'm like, okay, so because you haven't, so that means that it's not done until
it's,
you know.
There's a whole new thing that I've been talking about. It was triggered by at a conversation with someone this week. That was one of the most amazing questions arose from it that I've heard in a long time that I'm going to write something about. And the question is, whose orgasm is it?
Whose orgasm is it anyway?
And who are you? Yeah. And that's the title that I'm working with. And who are you having the orgasms for? And as a woman, are your orgasms yours? Are you having them just to please him? Or are you having them just because you should and there's pressured? And for men as well, who are your orgasms for? Are they really to perform? Are they really about pleasure? Is there this connection between your heart and your genitals? Where are your orgasm coming from?
You know,
it's an amazing idea, and it's really struck me as a huge thing.
And this came from like chatting to a customer or just yeah. It's yeah. Because it's
yeah, someone that I'm working
with. Yeah, because it's fascinating that if you don't want, first of all, to have the discussion, so you're describing a conversation already happening in your clinic, in your therapy room, and you know, and I think you can identify with that as well. If the conversation doesn't start because there's a pain or because there's a need, the conversation will not be ignited. And that's what's scary. That all these amazing topics that you're mentioning, Jonty, how do you even get to people who want them to start to have the conversation? Yeah. How do you even... maybe we should try and convince men to say, would you like to have more? Would you, not always to start the conversation from pain. Oh, your wife is about to divorce you, or you never had a successful, meaningful relationship. Like, how can you start a happy discussion? That's something that you do,
yeah.
Right? You have 3,000 women following you, and you have groups of women that you have discussions. But what did you find that it's the easiest to maybe bring the topic up with men in conversations or in relationship?
It's to show them the benefit of it. So, what is the benefit for the man, for example, if she has an orgasm? You know, what is the benefit, Jonty, from a man's perspective? If I have an orgasm, what's your take?
Are you asking?
Well,
yeah, I'm asking. Hey, yeah. What's the benefit?
Well, it's really interesting because that goes back to who are you having the orgasm for? So if you're having the orgasm for me to prove that I am a good lover and to appease my ego, then what is the benefit? Because all that you're doing then is appeasing my ego.
Exactly.
How much of that orgasm is for you?
It's for me, actually.
Yeah. Or how much of it is to keep me happy and me peaceful instead of this is really about my pleasure. Have I really owned this?
Yeah.
Can I really take it and take all of it just for me?
Just for you, exactly, selfishly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing. And as a man, can I help you, not give you? Because that's a very big thing. I'm giving you the orgasm.
No. Yeah.
I'm so making you come. Then I get to wear
Superman. I did the job. I did the work.
That's right. And then whose orgasm is it? Because it's not yours then.
Interesting. I can't wait to read that. Eh?
That's mine.
Yeah. But it's also very interesting to see that during sex, do women still participate and own it and actually get themselves to come as well? Or is it just that they're sitting there waiting for this poor guy to do so much work? You know, men are also not used to women doing work that they feel, that's why they feel like they own it. It's my orgasm. I gave it to you because I did the work. All you did was sit there and not even tell me if it was okay.
Yeah.
Not even talk
Fumble
to me.
In the dark.
Not even moan, not even do anything. You know, I did the work, you know.
Yeah. So we all have to own our own sexuality. And I read an article a little while ago that said, if you want to be a good lover, because a lot of people come and ask me about how do I be a good lover and how to be an amazing lover and how to be a tantric master and how do I be a dominatrix and a dom and all of the, and everybody wants to know.
And they want to know where the ego can be rested there.
And they think it's all in firstly the technique, and then especially, this happens a lot at expos where we show the Yoni Massage DVD, and you see the women in this incredible state of pleasure, and they come and they ask afterwards, so what's the lube? Because they're convinced that the lube or the oil or whatever is the trick.
That's the trick.
You're just going to put it on.
Has pulses and, like,
and that's what's going to
do. Yeah, what's the magic oil?
That's it. And my understanding has moved to, you want to be a good lover, go within yourself. So we'll post a link to that article.
Okay, I'm writing it down. We have a new thing. Anything that you would like to let our listeners know, if it's a good book, a good source, whatever, then you tell us. We write it, and then there's on the podcast page some notes.
I will mention that on our podcast page, we have a new feature, which is because we talk about a lot of sources and resources on the show. And we're posting them on a separate page on our show.
Doy did it amazingly. It's so beautiful.
Get them. So it's beautiful. So we'll post a link to that article. And it's, if you want to be a good lover, go within. You want to learn about sex, learn about yourself.
Yourself.
And that's where it comes from.
Learn what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Be curious about your body. Yeah. Be curious about your belief as well, about sex, about certain positions. You know, there's also this belief that, you know, like you'd get a lot of women saying, no, I'm uncomfortable with the doggy style, for example, because I don't see what he's doing. What if he's busy making faces behind me? Well, but it's also about then the belief, like be curious about what is it that you believe about certain things that you're not comfortable about. Yeah. Why are you not
and
comfortable?
And where does the belief come from?
Yeah.
And how can you change it?
Exactly.
Because if you can see what it limits you experiencing, how can you free yourself from that to have the experience? And if it feels good for you, what difference does it make whether he's looking in the mirror making faces?
Who cares?
Yeah, that's right. Because you don't. So what difference does it make?
I'm in heaven.
I mean, we've have both remarked at various times at people at sex clubs who have been so obsessed with themselves in the mirror, and like how their bodies look and. You
how
know,
can you even enjoy that's when a, you're so busy looking at yourself?
Yeah, it's like such an ego
go within.
Space.
That's a good key to start with. It's the conversation to goes within, to go within yourself. What do you want? And people don't, not generalizing, but a lot of friends and people that we just chat to, so afraid of change, so afraid of the conversation. And when Jonty did a talk about hard conversations. And when you look at all the coach and all the work that has been done around business and business success, what is success? It follows about 100 failures, right? Mm. So don't try to understand or know, predict the future, where this conversation is going to take you with your partner. Believe that if you're doing it from the right place, from a real genuine place of love for yourself, love to your partner, the conversation will yield wonderful, wonderful fruit. You know, there's going to be, you don't know where you're going to get. So don't limit yourself and try to predict the consequences of the conversation. Yes, it's going to be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to
be. It's new. It's
you have to be courageous. You have to believe in yourself. You have to want more. But isn't going to be worth it? Isn't the success of that conversation of you guys opening up? And you don't have to go, you know, there's unbelievable belief that people say, okay, I want to express to my partner that I want to have a threesome tomorrow. I'm expecting to do the threesome. It's not going to be like
I'm expecting you to be okay with it.
Exactly.
It's okay to have a different belief about it, and let's see where we can meet each other halfway.
It's very different. Mm. If I'm expressing, you don't have to oblige, but I would like to express myself and wait in patience to see what it does to you, because I care for you. It's not only about me. It's not only about you.
So that becomes then an interesting question. So of the women that you work with, how open are the conversations, even just amongst themselves? Never mind partners or in relationship. How openly are women sharing?
Well, to such a large extent, there's still it's still very taboo, I must say. Hey? It's still very taboo where you find if another woman shares their desire, she's almost judged for it. Like, oh, how can you? I've never even thought of that.
Yeah.
You're always comparing yourself to the other person to sort of weigh and benchmark yourself. Where are you? Because the less you know, again, there's the belief that the less you know, the purer you are or the more innocent you are. And people love innocent people, you know. And
God,
that's where
such a destructive such a shame. Myth because
you'll find,
it's such a myth.
You'll find that... We say to the women that talk a lot about intimacy or whatever, that they're wild, you know, oh, like you're so forward. Like, how can you know about this and this? You've been around. Like I said, that it's always a sign of you've been around, and not necessarily that you've got the you could have had all this experience from one person because of the depth of the relationship that you've had, you know. So it's still such a shame that we still have these labels in our heads, in our minds about things that we feel uncomfortable about or things that we've never even heard about before that. Just now I learned the other word. What is it? Listora.
Lactophilia.
Lactophilia.
I'm not even sure if it's for me, but I'm open to hearing about it. And now I'm curious about it to see where do I fall into this space or have I ever had anyone? You know, now I'm curious going back and thinking, do I know anyone who's curious about it? And from now, I can have conversations about it and see how many people do I know that, you know, are actually liking the idea of this, you know. So it's good to be open-minded even if you don't understand. It's not your job to feel comfortable all the time, to make yourself feel comfortable. Allow yourself to not feel comfortable, but be curious, like I said, about what is it that I like or what is it that people are saying. Even if you don't want to try it, you know yourself, you know your limits, you know. But let intimacy, anything to do with intimacy, be a beautiful experience. Make it one, you know, for yourself.
Don't make it taboo.
So a lot of that limitation, is it coming from upbringing, from culture, from society, tribal issues?
From a lot of things. So growing up,
yes.
And this is my personal experience now without labeling anyone.
Yeah.
Growing up, you were told...
Where did you grow up?
In the East End.
Okay.
Yes. In the East End.
That says it all.
Why?
In a township called Vosloorus.
Okay.
You know, growing up, you were told often to close your legs because... if you even open your legs, then
you're a bad woman. You're a bad girl.
Do you understand? So there was that shame of what's in between my legs as growing
from
up.
From the time
you're
really small.
Yeah, when you were really small. So there's firstly that shame of what's in between my legs is dangerous.
And that brings incredible disconnect.
Exactly. And then secondly, I was told that if you even laugh with the boy, you'll be pregnant. You know? So I stayed away from men. I hated men. I didn't want to say, you know, you can imagine as a teen, you see this guy who's cute, but you're like, yo, I don't want to be pregnant. You look away, you know.
That was a serious belief.
As a teenager, I mean, I only started dating when I was in my second year of varsity. And that's because now I figured.
That you were not going to get pregnant.
That I was not going to get pregnant.
Okay.
So there was no sex education?
No sex education. Never had conversations about intimacy. I've never seen my parents being affectionate with each other. I've never seen anyone around me being affectionate with each other. So
was that common?
Very common. And this is, I speak for at least 80% of the blacks when I say this. You'll never see your parents kiss. You'll never see your dad spanking your mom's ass or nothing like that. Yeah. You know, they even have this special vocabulary for intimacy where they'll make it sound like a... No, I've reached Polokwane, for example. That means I've reached my orgasm. Or like, meet me at Polokwane. Like they have terms that are so not even related to sex. You know. Meanwhile, you're sitting there and they're talking about sex. What are you doing?
There's a oral delight.
So there's this really
there's really weird disgusting people
pervert
in the
named David Levinson outside the studio who's licking a rhino's ass while sticking his tongue.
But his tongue game is strong, hey?
Donut.
His tank game is strong.
Dave, I'm tweeting it just for you to know. I want to see the donut again, though. It was quite arousing for me.
Did you see that strong tongue?
It's gone. The what?
strong tongue.
The strong tongue. Yeah, there was something rigid about,
Which is an interesting thing in terms of time spent with the tongue, but we'll come back to that. Carry on with what you were saying.
So, yes. So, it was... the issue of what's in between my legs being dangerous, the issues of boys being so
about even the parents, you said
the parents not being
and
affectionate.
At school there was no sex education.
No, even if there was, it was about AIDS, purely about AIDS. You know,
it wasn't about pleasure.
No. And then church. Oh my word, church messed us up. Wow.
Okay. I want to say that our wonderful friend that does amazing that you interviewed for about celibacy, being celibate. We had a coffee last week, and it's a wonderful man that was very, very involved with a church and was a goody too. She's like, he was a church leader and everything. And he told me last week in the coffee something even more scary that scarier that I didn't know, that actually there's two people that he knew that tried to have a baby for years, and then they realized because you're not even allowed to talk about sex education, he tried to all the time fuck her thighs. So it was two grown people, but they were such good Christians, and they were such, you know, they were not even looking in the internet, and they really believed that this is the Lord, this is the way you should behave. So for years he was trying to fuck between her thighs, but not in her vagina. So of course they won't be able to conceive a child. And actually, you know, that's something that came to him. So he was amazed that when you're trying to be good, then you're not allowed to research. You're not allowed to actually look and educate yourself because God sees everything. Yeah. So it goes to the micro level of not even allowed to think. Yeah. And then you become very sick. You know, that specific guy wanted to really commit a suicide. Listen, he was just depressed.
The threat of people who are sexually free to religion is enormous, and that's one of the biggest
depends
things of control.
Religion, but yeah, Christianity, Judaism, the mono
any of
mono
those
God.
Monotheistic religions that are very patriarchal.
Yeah,
just be like us, worship the yoni, worship the lingam.
And I have joined the movement.
There you go.
Bowed out.
Absolutely. There we go. Bow down before.
Yeah. So there was the issue of that, and it's almost like there's so much, and then society as a whole as well, on top of the church, you know. So there's so much that is done to govern what's between your pussy, basically. There's so much that is, there's so many rules, you know, from the government to, because this is such a powerful thing that, can you imagine if we were let loose and we were told that we are not sluts? We would be out there bonking on the trees and making you guys late for work and making the president not work, you know, because it's such a powerful thing that a lot is invested into governing it and saying, this is wrong, this is right, you know. It's funny that we say God is what will punish you about what you do with your vagina, but doesn't punish you about what you do with your nose or ears.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that he doesn't care what you do with your, why would he care? And I mean, we've got the clits. This thing is useless, guys. The only thing it's
not being used.
No, but I'm saying that it's funny how everything else in our body is connected. The hands are connected to the mind and so forth. You know, the veins are connected to something else. It's not connected to anything. It's purely built for pleasure, for your pleasure. Right? They can remove it, you'd still go on to live. You will not die because it's not associated with anything else but pleasure. And then we say God created this thing, but he doesn't want us to use it. Why would God give you a sweet and say not eat it to a kid? You know?
That's the thing, that everything in your body, regardless of whether you believe that it was created by God or it's the result of this evolutionary process, there's a purpose to it. And how do you fulfill the purpose? You express it. You allow it to do what it does.
What it was created for.
That's it, one way or another. Which reminds me, there's another resource that we need to add to this because it's so much in line with what you were saying. It's a TED talk by a woman called Peggy Orenstein. And she talks about how young women view their pleasure. And in terms of education, how men are taught about erections and orgasms, and women are taught about periods and unwanted pregnancies. And there is nothing about pleasure.
Yeah. No, I don't know anyone. And I was just saying the other time that it's funny how I know a lot of women, Jonsi, who have been sexually abused, for example. And, you know, we give them a round of applause for standing there on stage and talking about how they survived rape from a gang, from whatever, you know. But we never quite hear women saying that, oh, I'm so pleasured. It's not even funny. Like, I'm over-fucked, you know.
We celebrate the pain, not the pleasure.
Not the pleasure of it. I don't know anything positive associated with sex, to be honest with you.
How did you start your whole journey? So this is what motivated you?
So I wanted to liberate myself from, firstly, what I believed in about my body. It came about the size of my body, for example. Even I had issues with it for so long. So it's just being curious. Thank you. Did you see my bum?
I did. You're hot.
Your say is nothing on me.
Honey, you're like, you're hot.
So it starts with liberating yourself. You know, it's funny that we're getting to a point where we're liberating ourselves in terms of economy, our education, politics, but we're not touching on the aspect of our sexuality, you know. And that's why I feel that there's a lot of healing that Black people need to do when it comes to intimacy, because we have just made it such a taboo thing to even converse about. You know, the only time, I've got one of the clients that I have who said that, you know, my husband doesn't want us doing any other style but a missionary because he feels that it's evil for us to do anything. And there's a lot of belief around this, you know. And that she feels like she doesn't have a place. She feels wrong.
She lost the battle before it even started.
You know, what type of conversation are you going to have with somebody that believes, his belief is so rooted in religion that it affects your own marriage? You're putting your marriage in the line here, but because religion, do you understand?
Yeah. And you know what's fascinating about what you've said about liberation? That the real revolution is actually still the sexual revolution. Because it doesn't matter how economically free you are.
You are, exactly.
It doesn't matter how politically free you are. Until you have freed yourself sexually, all of those are actually in a way quite meaningless because they're based on systems of empowerment.
Yeah.
That are not yours.
Exactly. It's
the sexual revolution is your own freedom.
Yeah.
Not about an economic system.
Mm-mm.
Not about whether capitalism is better than socialism or federalism or whatever else it is that we're doing. It's not about which party is ruling the country, because they're all the fucking same anyway,
oh,
to some
tell
extent.
Tell me about it.
That's its own other story. The sexual revolution is our own personal
that you can own
revolution. That's it,
you know. And I think for me as well, it's so much of our lives is attached to intimacy, to sex, to our pleasure, that we don't even know about it.
Yeah.
You know, money is attached to your pleasure, whether you want it or not, you believe it or not. Your life, just in general, you know, what you attract as well, is so much of it is attached to your sexuality, that your health, I mean, goodness, the poor women that don't even get to orgasm, yeah, they miss out on so much.
Listen, the studies that are coming out now about the link between pleasure and sexual fulfillment and emotional fulfillment and every aspect of health are enormous.
Yeah, the hormones that get to be released from you having pleasure, yeah, are very essential for your life, you know, for your well-being, you know. And it's funny that when you're pleasured, you know, even traffic, you don't mind it. You can sit in traffic for 2 hours. You know, music sounds sweeter, food tastes nicer. You know, there's so much,
yeah,
that
you have a much greater connection to life.
Yeah, you've got a clear balance. You know, you've balanced yourself in your life, and it makes things easier. You're more productive at work. You are easy to be around as well. You know,
we have to also really mention, science wise and, you know, women are sitting right now listening, maybe, you know, nodding their heads saying they don't know nothing, and it's, if you just open your eyes, you will see that science is backing this up. Good connections, good intimate connection between the parents are actually connected, direct link to healthy mind, healthy body, healthy, you know, healthy psychology for the child. And good intimate connections and intimate relationship between the parents, and it obviously trickles down to the child. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're actually being touched and held, and you're also not being you're not resenting your own body, you don't resent anybody else's qualities, you don't judge, because this is where it starts. When you start judging yourself, of course, that's the first thing you're going to do with your friends, in class, you know, it's lack of acceptance. It's really, and that all has to do with tools to deal with intimacy, which we don't have.
So KB, in terms of change, so can I talk about how old you are?
Yes.
Yeah, she sounds like she's like a doctor for something.
Okay.
She's so, only 34.
Okay, so how much of this is changing? I mean, you've grown up in a generation. How much of it is changing in younger people today?
Look, unfortunately, what I'm seeing is it's still got a lot to do with just the penetration of sex, and that's it. There's no education behind it. There's no emotion around it. There's no... So now, yes, the generation after me, you know, is they're becoming liberal about it. You know, you see them embracing each other, being affectionate with each other, but they're still not getting it. It's still at a base where it's just penetration, nothing else. It's just about... At least they own that part, you know.
Yeah.
But there's still a whole lot to learn about sex and the emotions of it as well, more than just it being a physical act where you penetrate and that's it, and that's the end of it.
So you know? I read something a few weeks ago that really struck me. It was, we know how to have sex, which is the act of penetration, but do we know about sex? The emotional connection, the energy, the possibilities, intimacy, sensuality.
Communication.
All sorts of things
around
that. And that's what we don't know. And that's the education that we're not getting.
Yeah, we still don't know how to create safe spaces for each other.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot to allow yourself to be vulnerable in front of a man or a woman. And allow you to do what you want to do with them, and allow them to do what they want to do with you. So... just the space where we allow each other to be vulnerable without you needing to be masculine and lead in the bedroom and show me that you're a man in other ways. You know, we still need, a lot of women still need the safety net when they get naked. You know, I know some of the women were saying that, you know, I never have sex with lights on, for example, because I just hate how my body looks. Or I just hate that my boyfriend, one of the boyfriends or exes that I've had,
were so mean to me, that they said horrible things, that it affected me to this day, where, you know, and it's just not women only, even guys are very insecure about their bodies lately, where we expect, you know, when we watch porn, we see these women that don't have stretch marks, their breasts are so right, they've clearly never breastfed or never done that what is this,
lacto
you know, that the expectation or the standard is that you can only be sexy and only undress when your body is right for it. If it's not, just cover it up and let it be about the basics, which is just about your vagina or your penis and nothing else. You know,
how much porn is there in the black community? How much porn are people watching? I mean, it's a really broad question. The people that you work with and are in contact with.
So 80% are actually watching porn.
Okay.
Right? They watch it.
And that becomes their model for sex.
Secret for them, a little dirty secret where they feel dirty for just, it's almost like every day, you know, you hit yourself, like, why did I watch it after? You feel guilty.
But I'm still doing it.
Yeah, but I'm still doing it because I like it and I like what I saw, you know, but I'm still guilty about it.
I haven't earned that part of
myself. Where your boyfriend doesn't even know that you watch porn, or your husband doesn't even know that you watch porn. He watches porn alone, you watch porn alone, and that's it.
And you don't share it.
And you don't share it. You never watch it together, because a woman who likes porn again is a woman who is dirty and is slutty and is, you know.
And is that becoming what people are seeing in porn? Is that becoming their model for sex?
It is. So much of it is becoming a model where, like I said, the expectation is that you must, when you ask them how long should sex last, for example, the expectation is it must last an hour. Who's got that energy?
Because you see it in porn.
Because you see it in porn, but they're using stuff and it's edited as well, you know.
That's the thing. So listen, everybody, let's get this very. Porn is a fantasy. It's people acting. Whether the actors even enjoy it or not is irrelevant and second. It has nothing to do with anything.
It's an industry. It has no root in reality. Well, there's vaginas and cocks and asses. Yeah, that's the connection.
Yeah, but if your model is porn, you are not getting anywhere near what's real. And we talk about it on the show again and again and again. But people are still doing it. I mean, you know what's amazing? Do you know what average age young people are first exposed to porn today?
12.
Even less.
By about age 8. And it's nothing to do with anything other than the devices that we have. Because it's not whether people go looking for porn, because a lot of kids don't. And a lot of kids at home, you know, they have adult filters on. But I heard a wonderful story. Not a wonderful, it was a story the other day. Where a young girl of age 8 or 10, she was looking for something for an outfit. So she typed in, she was looking for black tights.
And there we go.
She didn't know how to spell. She typed in
black
tits. T-I-T-S. So what's going to come up?
Wow.
There you go. And we're laughing,
but it's actually so disturbing.
That's what it is. Because she didn't know how to spell tights. Yeah. So she spelt it the way she thought she should. T-I-T-S.
Yeah, and young kids as young as 7 or 8 are actually having conversations about sex. But, you know, I've got a daughter, she's 8, and the other time she was on my phone, she actually Googled sex. And I'm like, okay, so we are there already. That means they're starting to have the conversation.
Yeah.
And when you ask, okay, so where did you learn about sex? Where did you hear about it? She's like, no, my friend was saying that when she grows up, she's going to have sex. So I wanted to know what it is. And that was an opportunity for me to talk about it, to not be what my parents were to me, where if you even mentioned the word, you would get so slapped. It's not even funny. You know, you were not even allowed to breathe that word. And when I remember those were the days of Days in the Bold. So whenever the characters are kissing, you would pretend like you're not even in the room. You would keep yourself busy with something else, because it was such a taboo and such an embarrassment, such an act of shame, that even to this day, it takes a lot to bring yourself out of that state where sex is such a shameful thing, but yet so exciting. You like it. It's nice, but it's, you know, you... There's so much guilt around it that we carry with intimacy and sex as a whole, you know?
Wow. It's such a huge thing, because it really is impacting on so many people's lives in so many ways that we actually have no idea about. I mean, the depth of impact that it has on relationships, on happiness, on health, on so many levels.
How do you tackle it? How do you bring, what do you do to make the world a better place?
I talk about sex and actually bring those uncomfortable bring those uncomfortable discussions to life. But also,
and this is what people need, is a platform. Yeah. You know, in every one of my workshops, regardless of what the topic of the workshop is, one of the pieces of feedback that we get afterwards is how important it is for people to have a forum to talk about things openly and to find out that they're normal.
They're not alone.
And their fantasies are normal.
Yeah.
Because you think they're unique, but there are some other people in the world who have the same little kinks that you have, and you're normal.
I know a woman, and this is so funny. I know a woman who said that every time she got horny, she would pray because she thought that was the devil.
Yeah.
You know, so every time something happened in her clits, she would just pray about it because that's the devil. Can you imagine living a life like that? And then I know as well a guy who is married and says, you know, sex with my wife is just for making babies, nothing else. But then I have this dirty secret that I go every day or whenever and sleep with a prostitute, and I get my pleasure from there. But but then I come back to my wife and I don't even want her to do the things that that prostitute does.
How prevalent is that idea?
It's such a shame that you have this creature, this woman that you claim to love, and you've allowed yourself and your mind to be so clustered with things that don't matter, that you forget that she's got needs, she's a human being, and you're out there pleasuring yourself secretly. What about her? Do you not think that she's got the same needs or that she has the same, she desires the same experience? You know, what I don't understand, why is it that you would, there's nothing wrong with going and sleeping with a prostitute. By all means, go and do it if you want to. But the minute that you are something else at home and you don't allow even the slightest opportunity to be that with your wife or your husband or whatever, and you are something else, you've got two personalities the way that I see it, you know. And again, it's such a shame that we have these secret lives that we feel so embarrassed about when we're actually normal, like you said.
Yeah, there's no authenticity in it. So I want to ask you about promiscuity, but I want to say something first. So this is to all of the people who feel guilty about having sex. And this is John T's personal opinion, that's all. You don't have to believe it. But if you want to try it, it could be really fun. Here's the simple truth. Whatever God there is out there, whatever power there is out there, whatever is running the universe, wherever it comes from, wants you to have the most pleasure in every single way that you can. And wants you to have the most beautiful life that you can in every single way that you can. And wants you to have the most love that you can in every single way that you can.
That's wonderful.
Full stop. And the rest of it's commentary on that. The women that you work with and that you're in contact with, what are the levels of promiscuity like? Are people having a lot of sex with a lot of people?
So it's got different stages. For those who've been married, I get so here's my clients typically. Yes. It's women that are single, wanting to get back into the dating game. They don't know how to.
Give me an age group for that.
So probably between 25 and 45. And then it's divorcees, women that have been divorced and like they're like, how do I get back to the, you know, I've always had my husband, no one else. How do I get back to the groove of things? How do I get back to, how do I get my spark back? How do I get my sexuality back? You know, how do I own it? And then it's women that are married as well saying, how do I love this man. How do I bring fun into my marriage? You know, and
are women more open and bringing it in, bringing new things in than men?
I find that they struggle with communicating the their truth.
Women struggle
to,
more.
Yes, to men. And that's because they fear rejection, and because men still have so much power that once a man calls you a B word, a bitch, for example, then that taints you already as a woman. You know, men have power in the words that they use to describe women. Hence, they've got terms like slut, whore, to just demean you. You know, so no woman wants to be called that, well, except for me. But
me too. We're going to start a different this campaign of me too. Me too, I like to be called whore.
This is really revealing today, KB.
Bitch.
But it's funny that we use words to box people, but we use words to
Intimidate, bully.
Yes, exactly. And limit
people. Push you back to the box. Mm.
Especially sexual words. They have such a big, they carry such a big value and big.
Carry enormous power.
You know? So I'm women. So like I said, with my target audience or my audience generally. So a lot of women are now allowing themselves to be fucked. How do you like that?
I love this phrase. You know? What does it mean, allow themselves to be fucked?
They are allowing themselves to have pleasure from different places, different people, from different experiences, and they're loving it.
So
you
becoming
know?
Much more open.
Open about it and without the guilt, because that's where the trick is. Do what you want to do with your life without the guilt. Mm. If you want to be promiscuous, by all means, go ahead and do it, but without the guilt. You know, when you understand yourself better and you don't allow yourself to be defined by what you do, for example, for pleasure. I mean, you don't allow yourself to be defined by what you do for a living, you know?
Well, so why? Most of people do still define themselves.
Because
very often that's the first question people ask when they meet. What do you do?
What do you do?
Are you married? Do you have children? And then
that's like in a box.
Yeah, and then
label.
They bench you like, okay, you're here.
Do you find that the women that you're engaging with, do they go back to their hometowns to find the new, you know, the new adventure? Or do they go far? Where do they find those people that have more tolerance? How do you really go back to the game?
So women want, here's two things that women want. They want the pleasure. Mm-hmm. They want the facts, all of them. But they also want the commitment. But it's very hard. They feel like you have to give up the one to have the other.
So you can't find the same.
You can't find marriage if you are being a whore or a bitch, or you know so much and you love sex so much, you know, you can't. And that's where, again, the black mentality is, where you think you need to give up one to have the other.
But you know, I must say, from my, sorry to interrupt, but in my experience as a white Israeli, you know, woman, not necessarily only in South Africa, when I was after a 10 years relationship and I discovered the intimate or conscious sexuality field, and it comes with a lot of open-mindedness and trying new things, I really didn't find anybody to really match where I am at, and to think about establishing a connection till I found my partner, till I found York. It's something that actually took years, because it is much more specific. Mm. There is kind of, you almost have to resign from the union. Mm. The union of, okay, this is going to be marriage, going to be an institute, you're going to provide for me, I'm going to be a good wife. After you resign from all that, then you say, okay, I'm going to be independent. I'm going to provide, maybe even for myself. Yeah. I'm going to be liberated sexually.
I'll talk about my needs.
Then I just want you to be my friend and my partner. That's all. That's all I want.
High five.
Shame sitting there, not sure if he's did a good deal or not.
It's starting to create relationships from spaces of want, not of need.
Yeah.
But we have to free ourselves before we can do that.
Yeah.
And again, we have to go inside of ourselves, because anything outside is not going to do that.
Yeah. And remember that previously relationships were designed as a survival mode for so long. Like she mentioned, that it was about the husband providing for me. Yeah. And now that I'm this independent woman who works and is financially doing okay, I've got my house, I've got my car, but now that I've got those basics covered, can I have then my other needs covered? Mm. Can I have my sexual needs being met? And that's where I'm finding a lot of women are. Mm. A lot of women that I talk to are independent, middle-class black women who are doing well, but they're just not finding their match.
Yeah. Is that because men are not asking the same questions?
So I think black men are trying so much to catch up emotionally, physically, financially, sexually as well. You know, like I said, that women have been the ones that are having the conversation and opening themselves to have the conversation, that you find black men are out there stuck. It's very few that are open.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to tell you something interesting here, because a lot of people think that men are more sexually adventurous and open than women. And this is across the board, whether you're black or you're white. And I have worked with people for almost 20 years in the field of conscious sexuality. I've been involved in helping run some sex clubs over the years, and all the workshops and everything that I do. When a woman gets in touch with that sexual power, And even that sexual curiosity, her energy becomes so much stronger than a man. And there is such greater willingness to explore as soon as she feels safe to do that.
But does she become intimidating to men with that?
Yeah, because a lot of men are terrified of that female sexual power. Because firstly, they know they can't match it.
It's going to expose them.
Yeah. And they know that they can't keep up with it because she's going to fuck you to death and ask for more. Can you produce that? Can you match her sexual energy and her openness? And there's this interesting thing that says that men are much more non-monogamous than women. And the truth of it is totally different.
Yeah. That's very true. That's very true, eh?
And that's across the board. Whether you're black or you're white, that's a human being thing. And regardless of the color of your skin, that's inside of you.
Yeah. Mm. And then there's the issue of polygamy, where they say that a man needs three or four wives because they're sexually more active. And, you know, a woman can't keep. I actually think if it's measured on the basis of sexuality and sex, then it should be the other way around.
Of course.
Women should be having four or five guys because we can take it. You know,
so not only we can take it, we have different. I think we're many times much more versatile. So one day we want the pleasure and the sex and the sensuality and the relaxation. One day we want to be fucked like there's no tomorrow. One other day we want to be kinky. You know, we have a lot of. I don't think it's women only, but there is an amazing variety. There's a wonderful side to our sexuality that is versatile. And I want to say something, Gareth, this morning. Kind of pointed it out. If we're going to be busy of pleasing, staying in the box, so that's that he read a letter to us that basically a listener said, you are this and that. And he said, fuck you, I can say whatever I want. And this is where Cliff Central was created. And that's why you're sitting here and Jonty is sitting here. We are provoking. We are allowing ourselves to say things that are not in the norm. So yes, you are listening to things that make you, as you said in the beginning, make you feel uncomfortable.
Cringe.
What about feeling uncomfortable for a change? And that is something that also happened to me in my sexual journey. Whenever I discovered something I'm uncomfortable with, I managed to realize that this is a reaction I should actually go within and check why.
Yeah, be curious.
So stop
about
pointing
it.
Out fingers once you're uncomfortable that this is a Satan and this is, you know, this is a rotten woman. She's, you know, she's not going to do any good. And maybe just think, why do you feel like this? Mm. Be a man about it, be a woman about it. And
so I'm going to be really flippant for a moment.
Be flippant.
And because normally I'm like the very serious
day?
One in the show.
Are you? Yes. No, you're not.
So I'm going to be very flippant for a moment. Everything's more comfortable with lots of lube.
Lots of lube, I tell you.
Maybe I should lube the people.
Water-based.
Try to. By the way, that's why people that come to Sensual to water workshops and water flow massage, you can't argue with an experience.
And I must tell you, on Tuesday night, we had such a beautiful
I know,
and deep
I chatted to somebody
water flow
that was there.
Massage. It was just
but
so awesome.
Let me ask you then, Jonty, in your line of work, do you find that you don't attract black clients and why?
Well,
do they ask the questions? Do they know what you do? Do they think you're this evil guy?
Well, good question. Good
it's
question.
A good question. And I don't really know a lot of those answers, but I have worked with more black women than black men.
Okay.
And a lot of women are willing to heal. There are an amount of black women who come and see me, and my process is that we meet and we talk.
Okay.
What is it about? What's it about for you and what's it about for me? Because there has to be a resonance between us to do this journey.
So they never quite bring the other party that they're coming in for to begin
and
with.
And some women are happy to embark on a journey and it becomes beautiful and amazing. And I think some are really nervous because they see of what needs to change.
And it's
and
scary.
And how difficult that is.
It's very scary.
And when a black couple come in or a black man comes in on their own, or a couple, it is awesome because of the possibilities that come from it. And as soon as there's a willingness, it's absolutely amazing. Mm. But it's not an easy journey because the cultural programming, the conditioning and the patterning is so deep that it takes work to fix it.
Yeah.
And I would love to work with more people because that's my mission, is how do we create this happiness? And for me, the transformational power of sex is huge. It's not only about that. It's how it impacts on our society.
Yeah.
And how when we see more of what connects us, when we see more of what's possible, that's where we can change so much in this country of ours.
Yeah.
And then we see the possibility of people And that for me is the most beautiful thing. Yeah. Yes.
I also think that it's very funny that the stuff we carry around us, we've inherited from people who have no clue what they were doing as well. You know, we've inherited fears, sexual fears. Yeah. We've inherited sexual beliefs from people. I mean, I know that I used to have an uncle who used to hate the color red on any woman. Mm. Red lipstick, red. And, you know, I wanted to be his favorite person in the world. So I didn't want to, you know, get on his bedside. So I also hated the color red for the longest time, you know, until one day I became curious and I'm like, why do I actually have a problem with the color red? I actually love this color. And then I remembered that, no, Uncle Sorenso had actually an issue with the color red, red lingerie, red clothes. I don't know. It was an indication of an evil.
Of being slutty. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so here I was for the longest time. I think it took me 30 years to even realize this, that I've inherited this fear and this belief from this person that has totally nothing to do with me. So again, about your sexuality and your desires, be curious about why you believe the things you do and where did you inherit them from, you know?
Well, I think we need to do more events and talks together, KB, because we need to really reach more people.
I think
and
you should also have wonderful
happiness.
Discussions
so,
here. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. KB,
you are welcome back anytime. We don't make that invitation to too many people.
I feel privileged.
Where do people find you?
They can find me on social media, Makabelo Motaung, or on my website, makabelomotaung.com as well.
Thank you. And I think we need to have more of these discussions.
Definitely.
Because there's so much and time limits us. But really, this was beautiful. And thank you for sharing and thank you for being so open. And we wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.